everybody, and welcome. It's February 19th, and you have the live Words, Women, and Wisdom show, my birthday, and I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silver. Congratulations on joining today. It's going to be an amazing show. I have a really interesting guest joining me for our conversation today. I'll introduce her in just a moment. And this show, if you've never tuned in before, it's a live show. It's all about showcasing, inspiring women, women in particular who've gone through some challenges themselves in life and risen back again to success and are doing amazing things. And my guest, Pat Duckworth, today is a really interesting lady who used to work in the corporate sector in health in Britain. I'll let her tell her story in a few minutes, and has now gone on to work with one of her passions and written four books. She's an international public speaker. She's a personal development coach and author of four books, including, I love the title on this one, Hot Women Rock, How to Discover Your Midlife Entrepreneurial Mojo. And she is the founder of Smarter Menopause. Okay, guys, if you're listening and you're thinking that this might not be for you, there's going to be some really interesting information shared. So you might find this incredibly valuable for your sweetie. Because Pat is bringing over 30 years of working in the public sector at a senior management level to this conversation. So she discovered her entrepreneurial mojo when she was in her mid-50s and then retrained as a therapist and a coach. And this is all bringing together today the work that she's doing passionately, which is about supporting women with hypnotherapy, NLP work, global stages that she's speaking on. And I'm delighted to have Pat Duckworth join me. Hi, Pat.
Good.
Good morning. So what time is it over there in England right now?
It is 7 o'clock in the evening here.
Awesome. Well, I have family in London, so very often with the different time zones, it's harder to reach them and actually check in live. So I'm delighted that you're able to join me. So
yeah.
You have a really interesting background. You've been traveling quite a bit, I gather, in the past 12 months. You've been in Delhi and Florida and London and Vegas and Iceland and The Hague and Copenhagen and Barcelona. What have you been up to? Let's start there.
Well, I love public speaking and I love getting my message out to as many women as I can. So if there's a speaking opportunity, I'm kind of going to jump on it. And I discovered an organization called the Women Economic Forum, and they have events all around the world. So that just suits me fine. I can go and speak to audiences of amazing women in so many different countries. And I'll be heading off to Amsterdam in 2 weeks' time, and then 5 weeks' time I'm off to Singapore.
Awesome. And it sounds like also you've been not just sharing your message, but you've also been recognized as well. I mean, you are an award-winning author of that book, Hot Women Cool Solutions, How to Control Menopause Systems Using Mind-Body Techniques. And I gather you were also presented recently, was that last year, with the iconic Women Creating a Better World for All Award? Was that Dr. Harbin Arora?
Yeah, Dr. Harbin is such an inspiration. She's created such a great stage for women to use their voices on. And yes, she recognized me with an iconic women award. So I was very grateful for that. And she recently won an award at the Evolutionary Business Council, which I'm going to take to her. So I will be turning the tables on her and giving her an award in just a few weeks' time.
That's lovely. I remember being down in San Diego at that Global Influence Summit myself, and thinking as I listened to her introduction, when she was recognized with that award. What an amazing lady that I would love to meet at some point in the future as well.
And then you will have to come to one of her events and speak there. You would love it, and the audience would love you.
Well, let's certainly connect again after this call, and we'll get that set up. It also looks like you have an Exceptional Woman of Excellence Award as well. Was that also through the Women Economic Forum?
Yes, it is. Yes. So I've attended probably now about 8 of the conferences. I've been to Delhi 3 times, as well as you said, you know, I've been to Iceland and over to The Hague. And so from all of that and the talks that I've done, that's why Dr. Harbin has recognized me in that way.
Lovely. And I gather you're also a regular guest on various radio shows in the UK and global podcasts. I know that I was on one the other day that you were speaking on as well. So you're a pretty active lady sharing your message and your passion with helping women to stay cool in the boardroom.
Yeah, and to find that passion as well. I think sometimes, you know, there's this misconception that as you get older, perhaps you get quieter and, you know, perhaps you run out of steam a bit. But I've found that I'm just getting faster and noisier, so watch out.
Well, I have to echo that for sure. I mean, I woke up this morning on my birthday, and I'm 39 and holding, and it's a beautiful sunny day. It's a super moon. It's a snow moon. And I was in contact with my business intuitive colleague, Lisa Lajoie, and she was making some suggestions on what I need to do to leverage the super moon and the snow moon today. So I'm going to be doing those things later on today as well. Now, just refresh me, you have is it cognitive hypnotherapist and master MLT, NLP practitioner certification? Is that the most recent certification? Because you've been working in healthcare for quite a while before you did your own business.
I mean, when I worked in central government, I wasn't in healthcare, although I was very interested in complementary health. It tended to be something that I did in my spare time. So, you know, we don't have a lot of spare time when we're working full time and running a household and everything, but I was very interested in things like shiatsu and massage and homeopathy. But that was mainly in my spare time, and it was only when I got to my early 50s and decided that I wasn't really enjoying what I was doing anymore that I decided to retrain, and I retrained with the Quest Institute, and their brand of hypnotherapy is cognitive hypnotherapy, which brings together the best bits, all the best parts of NLP and clinical hypnotherapy and emotional freedom technique and elements of cognitive behavioral therapy as well. So it gives you lots of tools for using with your clients.
Mm. So with all of that wisdom, how have you been able to apply some of these techniques? Because, you know, each of us goes through challenges in life. And yeah. I mean, menopause just by itself could be considered a challenge. So, you know, tell me a little bit about your story and where you've had some challenges and what you've done to move past them using some of these techniques or some of your other wisdom.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was pretty happy with my job up until my early 50s, and I'd reached sort of director level in a big government department, and everything seemed to be going quite well. And in fact, I'd run a team as part of that job, a team of negotiators. We would sort of negotiate property values. And I got one of my friends to come in and do a talk to my team on neuro-linguistic programming because I was interested in it. It was another one of those angles I was interested in. And she came and did a half-day workshop with my team on building relationships using NLP, and I got quite fascinated by it and started doing my own research into it and how I could use it. And I was really hoping my employers would send me on an NLP course, but sadly that never happened. And then, as I say, I got to my mid-50s and I realized I'd achieved everything that I'd wanted to in terms of the level that I'd got to and the status that I'd achieved, but I wasn't happy. I was feeling miserable. And, you know, one thing that NLP teaches you is, the thinking that gets you into a situation isn't the thinking that gets you out of it. And if you continue doing what you've always done, you just keep getting the same results. So I had to think about something different. And so I completely changed my career by deciding to do the NLP and the cognitive hypnotherapy course. I took my own advice on that. And so I fortunately received early retirement. I was in that zone where I could take that, so I could do the retraining and then set up for myself. And I also did some coaching courses so that I would be able to, I think part of therapy is in itself coaching, getting people to make the changes that they need to make. So I learned a lot about myself doing the training and then applying the training and setting up in business and starting to help other people.
It's so true, isn't it, how when you're doing training at a deep, deep level, and I mean, my most recent training has been around the topic of energetic resonance and working with my coach on that over a period of years. And it's really shifted how I think about my world, how I show up, the relationships that I embrace, and how I step into new relationships with an energy of being assertive, but not aggressive.
such a big difference.
Yeah, and even ended up rebranding my business about 3 years ago, because the old business was a business that was successful coaching, but I burned out chasing big, corporate contracts, and ended up feeling like I was really striving, and that was not the energy that I wanted to put out. My new business, I say new, it's 3 years old now, which is Flourish, just has a whole different energy of natural, organic growth. And it's about being in flow and paying attention, a lot of focus on meditation and self-awareness to really harness how you can have a business that rewards you in so many ways. It's not just, success just measured in the revenues. There's also a number of other factors that I calculate into what I deem as success. So it's lovely to be able to do that deeper work, because when you start peeling back the layers and doing work when you're in your, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever it is, you really get to know yourself at a much deeper level and what gifts you can bring to the world. And certainly one of your gifts, I believe, is all wrapped up with what you've identified yourself as being issues, and then how we can, as women, step into much more effective presence in the boardroom in particular, without having, sweat trickling down our backs, because menopause for you, isn't it? How did that get started?
Well, I think, that again, there's that conception that, that menopause is about the physical symptoms. It's about the hot flushes. It's about perhaps putting on a few pounds of weight. It's all about the physical stuff. But actually, it's about a mindset. It's that mindset as we start to get a bit older of, perhaps losing a bit of confidence, that things are over rather than beginning. And for women in the workplace, particularly senior managers, they can start to lose a bit of confidence because they're experiencing some of those physical symptoms and they're starting to doubt themselves. And at the same time, they're in a context of having more responsibility at work and probably at home as well. They might have older teenage children who are just leaving to go to college or are coming back from college. They boomerang back because they haven't found a job or a home yet. And also, they might have older parents who are relying on them. So there's a lot of stresses around that age that can really affect women's performance. And it's surprising the number of women who leave really good careers because they just feel that they can't cope with everything that's being thrown at them. And I think that they can do it if they want to do it, and I'm all about supporting them so that they can not just survive through that period, but find their power in it as well.
I love that. That's such a refreshing way to look at it, because I certainly know many women who, you know, are in my circle who have at some point had that low energy and have figured out how to really step into a new rejuvenated self after not having to worry about, you know, monthly cycles anymore and, you know, being in that reproductive age. And you're right, there's a lot of women who are in that sort of sandwich situation where they've still got kids that are, you know, maybe in college or older teenagers, and yet their parents are now also at the other end of the spectrum. And of course, we know that women end up taking on the bulk of those care responsibilities. And it does put a lot of additional pressure on, especially if you're working at that senior executive level. You also touched on confidence. And of course, that's my focus area, is being a confidence catalyst for women. And actually, this seems like a good time to just run the first clip of a couple that talks a little bit more about my book, which also was a bestseller. I saw yours was too. Mine was a bestseller. Not a number one. It got to number 20 in the self-help category under success. And then also 92 in the success category as well. So let's just run the little clip.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the Modern Art of Confident Conversations, is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
And it's been very well received, so I'm looking forward to how many more copies of that I can actually give out this year. Because my commitment to women is, for each copy purchased, I'm donating one to a women's foundation, not-for-profit, or shelter. And it really warms my heart to be able to be out giving out stacks of books. I gave out quite a few before Christmas, and I have some more batches gathered as well for this spring. So it's my way of sharing back the wisdom that was very significant when I think about my own journey with my mom. And you know, she was a stay-at-home mom, and because she was in that mode, she was not going out to work every day anymore after she had her kids, and ended up literally with my dad coming back from the war with PTSD, literally having the dignity drained right out of her. And I just, you know, I watched that and I swore that I was never going to be that woman, that person that did not have a voice. And the book is a culmination of many, many years of experiences, both with myself watching HR, in HR, senior HR roles, watching women develop and grow, and what were some of the things that got in their way, some of the words in particular that if they added them, it really diluted the power of a sentence, or if they chose a different approach, could actually have a much more positive and very different outcome, building strong relationships instead of pushing people away.
I love that, because that whole thing around being able to have confident conversations, and when you think about senior women in organizations, who can they talk to if they're experiencing menopause symptoms? How easy is it for them to be able to have that conversation with somebody who can support them? I think, you know, this ability to have assertive and conversations to be able to ask for the support you need is just so important.
It is. And I think that, you know, with my background in senior HR leadership roles, before being in, you know, in the different startups or founding my own organization, it really highlighted for me that women, often senior women executives, they don't have the same kind of old boys network, you know, that the guys do, for support. And very, very rarely do they come to HR and say, look, I'm having this problem, because that would typically not be someone who is at their peer level. They may go and, you know, if there's a VP of HR that's at their peer level, they may confide in them. But I found women tend to keep their symptoms and what they're going through very private. Would you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. And in fact, I was only having this conversation with another woman yesterday about, you know, at this time just before I made the decision to move from my corporate job into becoming an entrepreneur, I'd actually been dealing with my elderly aunt, my mother's sister, who I was her next of kin because she didn't have any children and her husband had died, and she was entering into residential care because she was unable to live on her own anymore and was starting to develop dementia. At the same time, I had my mother in a residential care home because she wasn't able to look after herself anymore. And there were some really traumatic days in the year leading up to when I decided to change my role. And I didn't talk to anybody about it. I mean, I talked to my husband about it, but there was nobody at work that I could talk to about it who could have supported me. And I don't want to find women in that situation, because it was horrible. And yeah, it was only when it was over that I actually saw a therapist myself. You know, I was already trained to be a therapist, but therapists need therapists too. You know, often we can't just work on ourselves, and it isn't healthy to. You have to find the support that you need, and sometimes that's another therapist that you can talk things through with, who won't be judging you, who will be there to help you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so, so important, and I say this to my fellow coaches. I mean, I've got a number of clients right now who are themselves coaches. And, you know, one client, in particular, when I was first speaking with her, and I'm not mentioning any names or digging into any details for confidentiality, obviously. And yet, you know, one of my questions was, you know, what amount did you budget in your, or what amount did you put in your budget for your coaching? And there was, there was this big silence on the end of the phone. And I was thinking, okay, this is interesting. So, you know, we're both advocates, obviously, of coaching. We've taken coach training. However, it somehow got missed that the coach would be benefiting by having their own coach to get the business flourishing. So,
and you might need more than one coach. I have got a coach who helps me with my marketing funnels. I've got another general business coach. I've got another coach who helps me with my sales side of it. You know, there's different elements that you need help with, and it's really important to budget that in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your content. I think maybe what we'll do is we'll play the second clip about the Words, Women, and Wisdom book, and then I would love to hear some of your learnings, because I'm sure that there are a lot of people on the call listening. Some may have questions, and if you do, you can dial in using the dial-in numbers that were provided. I put them in the Facebook page. I put them in the Twitter feed. So there's an opportunity for you to dial in. If you have questions, either for myself, whether it's a coaching question or a confidence question, if you have a question for Pat, I'm sure that Pat would be more than happy to dive in as well. And basically, the opportunity is there. That's what live radio is all about. So have a look at the page there and pick up that number so you can dial in. So let's just run that second clip.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in 4 different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing.
So it is all about finding ways to express ourselves powerfully as women, particularly women leaders, when we're the ones who are role modeling the values of the organization, the behaviors that we expect our team to be honoring as well. And so I'm really interested, Pat, to learn a little bit more. Let's sort of dive under the covers, if you like, at some of the ways that women can address those issues that come up around menopause. Like, what are some of the things that you learned doing your research for the book?
Well, one of the things I learned is that women generally, and this is a generalization, don't have a lot of knowledge about menopause before they enter into it. Now, it's really hard to ask for what you need if you don't understand what's going on in the first place. So I think what happens with women is that generally they don't want to talk about it. Before they get to that stage of menopause, they're not really interested. They think that if they ignore it, are they going to denial? Perhaps it will just go away. Perhaps it won't be that bad and it might only last a few months, and perhaps, you know, it will all just pass by and they won't be affected by it. And for some women, that's the experience. It's a bit like going through puberty. Some girls just sail through it. They might have a day when they're a bit moody, but apart from that, they just get through. And for others, it's several years of nightmare mood swings and spots and weight changes and confidence issues. And that's just how it is with menopause. So one of the things that I like to do is to give women what I call menopause wisdom. I'm using that wisdom word because it is just not just about the knowledge, it's about applying that knowledge to what they're experiencing. So if you don't know if what you're experiencing is about your menopause, how can you get the support for it? And you might be suffering more sleeplessness. You might be experiencing more anxiety. You might find that you're not thinking so clearly. And you might not relate all of this to menopause, and yet those are common symptoms. And so if you're in the workplace and you need support, perhaps you need to work more flexible hours because you're not sleeping as well as you used to. You might need a bit more time to focus on things. You might need some help in understanding things in a way that you didn't before. Now, there's always that worry, I think, because we hear so much about dementia and Alzheimer's. And some women entering menopause and finding that they're experiencing a bit of brain fog. They're not thinking as clearly. Their memory isn't quite as good. They're forgetting names and places, and halfway through making a presentation, some of the words have disappeared. They start to worry that they're actually more sick than they are, because they don't realize that all of that can be a result of their hormones changing. And it's not that your brain is getting worse, it is changing. Actually, the structure of it is changing. Whereas you used to be able to, somebody asked you a question, you'd probably do a straight line from A to B. Here's the question, here's the answer. As you get older, you're making more neural connections. You've got more knowledge and wisdom going on in your brain. So your brain doesn't make that straight line. It's not as fast as it was, because now it's going through a number of routes to come up with the best answer. There's a number of answers, and it's getting the best one. And we become more creative and more problem-solving. So it's not that your brain is getting worse, it's just that it's changing and it's thinking in a different way. Understanding some of that, getting that wisdom on board, is the start of being able to have that proper communication, the proper way of asking, the assertive conversation about what you feel you need. Does that make sense?
Totally. And I know for myself, I've always been creative. I've always enjoyed things that are, you know, in the arts, making things. And yet, it's interesting how that's carried over into the work I do now. And I think a lot of clients have commented that, one of my gifts is seeing the possibilities, seeing the opportunities. So it's kind of like, as a kid, you used to have the dots on the page and you would, draw the dots based on the numbers to actually make the picture with straight lines joining the dots. And one of my gifts is being able to see where the dots are. So if something isn't working right or it's not growing fast enough, where are those dots and how I can, join the lines and see a really amazing picture. And then it's a case of helping my client to actually step into, how quickly do they want to go in that direction, or does that picture resonate with them, and what are the steps that they need to go from dot one to dot two and dot three to dot four, and what's the pace that they want to go at as well. So it is about applied wisdom, and I know that that is a gift that once I realized that's what many of my clients were valuing, that I really started to hone in on. And when I rebranded, I put Flourish, my logo, you've got one of my cards, is about the flowers, the gerber daisies inside the light bulb, which is recognizing the creativity that I bring to women, particularly if they are mission-inspired women, business entrepreneurs. That's the place that I really get excited working, and it's a joy. It doesn't feel like work. you're excited about what you do. You're getting out there around the world. You're sharing. You're giving. And you're having fun with it. What a great place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's bringing some of that joy and laughter back into it, because you talk about the importance of the words that we use, and that word menopause has lots of negative connotations around it. I can't think of anybody who speaks about it in a positive way. In fact, the first time I got really interested in it and what was happening with women, I was already an entrepreneur, and I was at a local business committee meeting where we were discussing running an event. And it was going to be an event to promote the businesses in our local town, which isn't a big town. And they were talking about it as a family fun day. And I said, is that the right phrase for this? Because family fun suggests it's lots of young children and young families, where we really want to be talking to a broader spectrum of customers and clients. And the young man sitting next to me said, who do you want to market to then, menopausal women? And in that moment, that was just like a slap, you know, that he would say that to somebody sitting next to him and not take on board the what I felt was a very relevant point I'd made about who we wanted to be marketing to.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if this is the way people are viewing women who get to this age, then there's something we need to do about it. We need to be having this conversation about the value of the experience of women at this age, whether they've been at work and, you know, they've got all the experience of their years of work, whether they've been at home and they've got experience of budgeting their homes, of conflict resolution in the home, of negotiation in the home, even of their driving skills and getting the kids backwards and forwards to different things. There's so much wisdom and experience they've built up, and just to see it actually trodden on in that way was just so not acceptable that that was where I decided that this is something that I really need to work on and start changing the image of all of this and inspiring women to step up and say, no, my life isn't over. I'm going to do something brilliant with it.
Well, was it Mahatma Gandhi, you know, be the change you want to see in the world? So I hear that in your message, you know. I got so mad about it, I decided I was going to do something about it.
And if women see me traveling around the world and talking on these stages and they see pictures of me laughing and smiling, then they know that this is an example, that it doesn't have to be the way it's always talked about. And just because you've worked in one mode for a lot of years doesn't mean that's how it has to carry on. If you've got a purpose, a passion inside you, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can get out there and start to pursue it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in my book, I've got a number of different chapters, but chapter 4 is Awakening Key Words to Empower Your Success. And the first word in that chapter is joy. And Oprah Winfrey says, you know, surround yourself with only people who are going to lift you up higher. And, you know, joy is such a short word, and yet it's so strong. It's about, you know, delight. It's about levity. It's about happiness and, you know, really celebrating all the things in life that, in fact, many people are, you know, they're living in too busy of a world to even stop and take time for what brings us joy. And when I was in my striving mode, you know, I got diagnosed with diabetes and went to look up in Louise Hay's book, you know, You Can Heal Your Life, you know, what does this mean? You know, why am I getting this gift of diabetes? And it was about no sweetness being left in life and about having more joy. So I literally went on a journey to go look for more joy, literally. It was like, okay, I'm going to find myself more joy in my life. And it was only after some, you know, periods of stillness and gratefulness and spending time out in nature and taking a couple of months off. This was about the same time that I burned out, taking a couple of months away from my business, that I realized that joy is, it's all around us. We just have to stop running around and actually take the time to notice and step into things like gratitude and celebration and honoring and slow down a little bit so that you can actually have time to, what is that expression, smell the roses, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So definitely. And spending time with those people who really lift you up and that you can have a hug with. When we were both at that conference, we were having, I don't know how many hugs in a day, and we need hugs, you know, they're important to us, they're important to our health and our wellness and our feeling of connection, and there's just so much joy in having a hug with somebody.
Absolutely, and I think it was, I did quote him in my book, Mark Waldman, who's the, author of Neurowisdom, the New Brain Science of Money, Happiness, and Success. I'm not sure if you've connected at all or know of Mark, but he shared that if you focus on being grateful in a mindful meditation as part of your your social brain, the one that gets turned on when we're around 29, and we focus on gratitude for even just 60 seconds, at the end of the day for 7 days, it makes a massive difference. And here's positive psychology research that has shown that self-esteem continues to grow for 3 months and then stabilizes and remains high for 3 months just by focusing on gratitude for 60 seconds every day, 7 days in a row. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, positive energy, slowing down in order to speed up and be more joyful, but in a new, passionate way. It's that, you know, that subtle difference between aggressive and assertive, and being passionate about what you do and being willing to share that wisdom with other people. So I'm all about.
Yeah, and another important phrase that I often hear from my clients who are suffering with stress and anxiety, and particularly women, is, I have to do this, I have to do that, I've got this to do, I've got that to do. And just changing that, I have to, or I should, to I choose to.
Yep.
And in fact, they are making that choice to do those things. They're just not recognizing they're making the choice. And if you say, I choose to do the ironing, or I choose to go to work today and do this job, it's very different from thinking I have to, or I should, or one of those words that is just about putting pressure on yourself. If you say, I choose to, then it is an option that you've had, and that's the one you've chosen.
Yeah. Well, there's 40 different words and word concepts in the book. And so chapter 5 is where I have that word should. It's a category or a chapter on eliminating negative Nelly and low vibration words, because should, yeah, it does. It comes with that obligation, that duty, energy attached to it. Whereas if you flip it around into choice, I'm choosing to do this, and here's the outcome, the benefit of it, it just has a whole different energy around it. So there's negative Nelly words, there's sharing harmonious words for a happy home, there's powerful words at work to be heard, things like, you know, prioritizing and delegating and negotiating and amplifying. And then my last chapter is actually when no words are required. So it's about, you know, being intentional with your energy, using silence and power pauses and presence and body language, and, you know, how important first impressions are. So lots of good content, and I think there's definitely lots of overlap in what it is that you're sharing with your clients in terms of, you know, that positive energy and stepping into choice about how you view menopause, and the work that I do around picking another word, picking a different way to consider the options that you have. Because when we have choice, it's super, super powerful when we don't feel like we have to do something. So I think there was one last segment of clip to run, and we'll just do that. And then I know that you have some things that you also wanted to share with the listeners. So some gifts. Let's run the third clip.
I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future. ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
Pat, I know that you had a number of gifts that you wanted to share, and I have one as well. Because it's not all about receiving gifts. It's lovely. However, it's also about sharing. So if the listeners are intrigued to learn more about you, to keep in touch with you, first of all, where can they go to do that?
So if they're interested in my workplace training, then that is patduckworth.com, where I talk about what I help HR managers and colleagues and staff in the workplace with menopause. I also have the website that's attached to my book, hotwomencoolsolutions.com, and that's where my free gifts are. So that's the ones that you want to know. So there are some visualizations that I do in there. I am a hypnotherapist, and so I take you through some relaxation and into visualizations to help with some of the menopause symptoms. But if you're a man and you're listening, well, there's one there to help you with your sleep as well. And I also have one that's a visualization of walking through what's called your neurological levels. So your brain doesn't function at the same level all the time. It functions at different levels in a hierarchy. And this visualization takes you through from your behavior and your capabilities through your beliefs and values and up to your purpose. And I find it a really powerful visualization. And I hope some of your listeners will download it and see what comes up for them.
Awesome. So that is Pat Duckworth, patduckworth.com, and then hotwomencoolsolutions.com, and that's all one word, right?
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Well, I took a quick peek this morning and I've downloaded a few of those items already. So that's something that I'll be wanting to dig into a little bit further. And basically, because of the benefits, I think it's really, really important that, as you said, Pat, you know, everyone's body is different and we're all going to experience this in a different way. But if you are coming up to the age and you're starting to get some first signals that you might be heading into menopause, I strongly believe that education is so, so important. And if you can head some of these things off at the pass, as it were, and respond to it early on, you might not dive so deeply into all of the psychological things that come along with it that Pat was describing. So any quick tips that you wanted to share in our last couple of minutes here, Pat, of, you know, things that women could do that are quick and easy?
Sleep is really important. I think it can be the first victim of menopause is that you start to get sleepless. If you're finding that your sleep is getting interrupted or you're having trouble getting to sleep, take action quickly. And my first really big tip is ban all those electronic items from your bedroom. Get the TV out there. Definitely get your mobile phone, your smartphone out of the bedroom. It doesn't belong there. If you use it for your alarm clock, then buy a different clock, because we need that rest, that peace at night in order to sleep properly. There's different foods. Some foods will help you to sleep better. But I would really say keep a sleep journal and just notice if there are any patterns if you're sleepless. What are you eating? What are you doing before you go to bed that's causing you not to sleep well? Start to get a grip on your sleep and you'll have less anxiety, less hot flushes. You'll just feel generally better if you maintain regular good quality sleep.
Lovely. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm also going to be gifting a 45-minute visioning session with my compliments to women listeners who are thinking that they'd like a lot more clarity about how to step up to a new level of success. And the way to access that, because it is a complimentary offering, is to go to my webpage, which is wordswomenandwisdom.com, and it's spelled out A-N-D in the middle versus an ampersand, wordswomenandwisdom.com/contact, or just click on the contact button, and that'll take you to my contact page. And halfway down, right above my speaker bio, is a click link to my calendar for the 45-minute complimentary visioning session. So my gift to you, I'd love to connect with you and follow up and see, you know, what it is that would help you with elevating your success. Because this is an inspiring show. It's all about words, women, and wisdom, women who are making a difference in the world. And Pat is certainly one of those women. So thank you again, Pat, for joining me. And I look forward, everyone, to reconnecting with you in a couple of weeks' time on the Words, Women, and Wisdom show. I'm going to have a lovely celebration and birthday today, and I hope the rest of your day is amazing as well. Bye for now, everybody.